Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Talk Talk. I am your host, Kim Davis, and I am super excited to be back with you. Yeah, welcome back to Talk Talk. A lot has happened over the past week, and we have a lot to get to. First of all, welcome to everybody. Thanks for joining me, and thank you for all the kind wishes while I was out last week. I posted on my Facebook page that I was canceling last week's show because I was still recovering from surgery, and so many of you have just sent me well wishes and such kind things to say, and I want to say thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So I had surgery on my left ankle, and I started on Tuesday, and I thought that changing a setting. I thought that you know, by Thursday I would be ready to do the show, and I was still taking pain medication. I mean, I'm still recovering, but obviously I'm alert, and it was really short notice because I really did think I was going to be able to do the show. And so thanks for sending me all those kind well wishes. And just be nice. But even though I was a little banged up last week, that didn't stop the world from turning, right? We still have a lot of things to talk about. It was week one of the National Football League. You guys know that I am based out of Houston, and I cover the Houston Texans. Wow. Yeah. So I watched the opening game on television. I don't think I've missed a home game in several years. But I just, getting around on crutches and through the crowd and also not being able to elevate Michael or fight, I didn't think of that idea. And I am so glad that I watched that game, if you will, on television, and I didn't put myself through that extra torture to watch that madness. So let me say this. That game was it was just awful, right? It was not a very good game. It was not a very good game at all. There's no way to say any kind things about it. But listen, we're going to talk about not so much that game because that one is over. We will talk about it some. It was only a few days ago. But guess what? It is already week two. It's Thursday, which means Thursday Night Football comes on in 8 hours. And guess who's playing? The Houston Texans are playing. Hey there over on Twitter. Thank you so much. Welcome to Chalk Talk if it's your first time. So listen, Deshaun Watson, the rookie quarterback, we'll just jump right into it. He's going to make his first NFL start tonight against the Cincinnati Bengals. What do you think about that? I would love to know what you guys think of Deshaun Watson getting his first start week two, a short week with so many guys banged up, with the offensive line just, man, let me tell you something. The Jaguars are probably a better team than they were last year. I mean, clearly they must be a better team than they were, right? But the Jaguars look like really good. Like the Jaguars offense and Blake Bortles looked like Aaron Rodgers or somebody, and then just a few weeks ago, there was all this chatter about whether or not Blake Bortles would even play. Like, would he even be the guy that would be starting? They said they would try it out in week one. And he comes out as a man defense, which is supposed to be really their strong suit, right? Strong suit is supposed to be the defense. Their defense didn't look very strong last week. In fact, the defense was mediocre at best, right? And the offense, because the offense was so bad, no one's really talking about the defense because the offense was just so bad. I mean, the offense was bad. And we'll talk about that. The offensive line was just not good at all. Hello, over on Periscope. And listen to this. If you could see the Texans injury report, not only was it just not a great performance, they had There's five guys go out in the concussion. All three tight ends out. Right? All three tight ends were out, and they were in the concussion protocol. Fedora Woods, Ryan Griffin, Steven Anderson. So in a short week, you know, what are the chances that they get back? Well, it looks like I'm trying to see. So Ryan Griffin is out. Steven Anderson is out. And Brian Cushing is out. We're getting a pin in it because it's concussion. That's the only reason he's out. We're going to come back to talking about Steven Anderson. Alfred Blue injured his ankle. Will Fuller, of course, is out with a collarbone shoulder separation. He's already been out. But Bruce Ellington, the wide receiver, early in the game, went out with him. And so they have 7 guys out this week as of Wednesday, on the injury list. Yeah, there's some others who have had limited participation. But, that was really – I don't see Fedora. Why isn't that listed? Okay, so at any rate, they don't have a tight end. Like, they're without tight ends. They did sign a tight end, although Monday – or no, it would have been Tuesday at practice. Head coach Bill O'Brien, when talking about this week, and he said, you know, it's a short week, and in terms of when they asked about whether they would bring somebody in, he was like, well, you know, it's a short week, and, you know, well, they did bring somebody in. I mean, they did sign someone on yesterday. They did they activated Evan Bayless, the rookie out of Oregon, from the practice squad. So they did elevate him to the active roster for practice squad. Hello, Al Balro. Is that how we say it? Good morning. Hello. Depending on part of the world you're in. I'm in Houston, and so it's 11 a.m., but you may be someplace else. They did activate him, and they waived Andy Jones from the wide receiver from the active roster to make room for him. So Evan Bayless is the you're Russian. Welcome. They've got a tight end, a rookie from the practice squad. They've got one. And not that they use the tight end a lot in their offense, but because, listen, we have a number of functions, mainly to block, right? Clearly, they need some additional protection, help blocking, because their pass protection was awful. And it wasn't like the run blocking was great, but the pass protection was really, really awful last week. So, It was not their finest hour, you know, we'll say that. So, listen, there's a lot of room for improvement just because they were really bad on Sunday. So how bad were they? We're going to talk about what's coming up, but just to give you a sense of how they looked in that game, right? So the Texans gave up a record. I think they tied a franchise record, giving up 10 sacks. Okay. And 10 sacks, 6 in the first half. Tom Savage was sacked 6 times in the first half. He was benched at halftime. It came out in the third quarter, and Deshaun Watson entered the game to start the second half. He completed 12 of 23 passes for 102 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception in his NFL debut. He ran 2 times for 16 yards. He led Houston on a 14-play, 75-yard scoring drive on the first possession of the second half that led to Houston's only score. He was 5 of 8 passing for 37 yards and completed the 4-yard touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins on that drive. So it was not a great game pardon me, for Deshaun Watson, it was not a great game for anyone. Like, no one looked great in that ball game on Sunday. But Deshaun Watson at least had some escapability. Savage looked just—he was a deer in headlights. You know, he ran. They were both running for their life all day. Like, they got absolutely horrible protection. So, you know, the fact that Deshaun Watson is, you know, getting his start in week two isn't terribly surprising, but, you know, this just seems to be a very familiar kind of a scenario with this head coach in Bill O'Brien. This is his ninth starting quarterback since he's been here. This is his fourth season. Fourth season, his ninth starting quarterback. So, you know, that's a lot of changing. That's a lot of changes. He does have a quick hook. So the key would be, welcome to Periscope, United Field. It's your first day. Welcome. And welcome, Tony Isova on Periscope, for joining the show. I'm happy to answer your questions, and I'd love to hear your comments. But, you know, Bill O'Brien has a quick hook, right? He has a quick hook in terms of, you know, kind of yanking guys out of the game when it comes to the quarterback, making the change quickly. And so, yeah, Tom Savage looked totally out of sorts on Sunday. And he doesn't have any escapability. And behind this line, that, by the way, is still missing starting left tackle Dwayne Brown. It is still move a little bit because he looked there, didn't have any confidence in the line. They didn't seem to have any confidence in him. And nothing that they said, but just the body language, you know, just the body language. When you are, you know, not terribly confident or absolutely afraid, it transcends the people around you. And so I think that's some of what we saw with Tom Savage. So when Sean Watson had the game, it was a little bit of an instant energetic boast. You could almost see a lightness, a lifting, but it wasn't enough because the team just didn't do enough. You know, they couldn't really get any separation. The receivers couldn't. The Watson was still, you know, running for life all day. And, you know, the defense, we're going to talk about the defense in a minute, but the defense was mediocre. Okay. The defense was mediocre at best. Good morning, Heaven's Angel. Glad that you are joining the show today. Thank you so much. I am recovering well from surgery. I had surgery on my left ankle. So I am getting a little crutches for a while. I have a boot. And I am not taking pain medicine. So that's a good thing. So thank you. Thank you. Welcome back. And I appreciate all you guys' well wishes from last week. So we're talking about last week's game. And how we get to tonight in game two in a short week where the Texans are in Cincinnati, take on the Bengals, who had an awful showing at home. Who lost. And so they are looking to get their first win. Both teams are looking for their first win, okay? And Deshaun Watson will be the starter in game two. All three tight ends are out. They have elevated a rookie tight end from the practice squad, so they do have one active tight end. And not that you'll expect to really see him as a target of many passes tonight, but they need somebody else to help block, you know. Clearly they need some help with blocking because the offensive line were just handled by the Jaguars last week. It was just kind of sad. It wasn't even funny, right? It was just really, kind of sad. So let me say this. I've had people say, well, Kim, Dwight, the whole line was bad, right? The whole line was bad last weekend. But Dwayne Brown will make a difference. He is the best offensive lineman you have. He plays the most important position on the line, left tackle. He's a veteran. His leadership, I think, will help give some leadership and maybe some confidence or, you know, something to the line. And no, he can't play the whole line. I mean, he can't secure the right side. But the line is just not very good. You need to get Dwayne Brown. And I can't really understand why they haven't just gotten it done, right? Why they haven't gotten it done. I don't understand that. So missing him, not signed. I've seen nothing come across that says a deal has been struck. So they're going to go 2 weeks without Dwayne Brown being in. And I just think that's unfortunate for not, you know, for Dwayne Brown, but listen, for Deshaun Watson and whatever quarterback you're going to put in behind this line that can't seem to, they're just not ready. And they look like they were just, I mean, I don't know. The Jaguars is, you know, obviously is an improved team. The Jaguars had an improved team. But are they that good defensively? Really? And so, well, speaking of defense, let's talk about the Texans and what they did defensively. Because the final score, I think I mentioned it. The final score, what, 20? Let's see here. I don't even want to see that. Let me go to the release. Here we go. I'm going to go to this week's release. And give some stats. This is what the PR staff is supposed to do, is to find the highlights and the best numbers for their team. So, you know, it doesn't really tell you how awful and those notes. But if you look at the game book, which has all of those stats, it's very clear. You know, so 29-7. I couldn't remember if it was 26-7, 29. It was 29-7. The Texans lost at home to the Jaguars 29-7. Okay. Yeah. So they play the Bengals, who lost also last week. And let me pull this up. Trying to find a little bit of the shit was here. So we've got some numbers about some of the things that happened, but I was really trying to find the game book. And usually I would have one because I would have been there, but I was not. So here we go. That's just maybe what I'm looking for. You know, the numbers don't really matter. What really matters is that it was not a good game. Not a good game at all. The Texans didn't look good at all. And there's a chance for them to get back into the, you know, to try to get a win, right? They need to try to get a win because, you know, not to be to look too far ahead, but this is, you know, week one, they fell at home. They look awful against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We established that. And tonight they play the Cincinnati Bengals. Next week, they go to New England. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you got to play this game tonight. But they go to New England next week. And, you know, they beat New England in the preseason. We know that means absolutely nothing, right? We all know that. We can agree that that doesn't mean anything. And so, hello, Marcy. Good morning and welcome. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much. And thank you, as I said earlier, for the well wishes. And hello, Atlanta. Lady Peretta. I'm glad that things didn't get better. Fared okay, and the idea of a tropical storm in Atlanta was just kind of, man, this whole weather stuff is craziness, but welcome, and I'm glad that you're back and that things are okay. Andre, you make a good point. Andre says you really can't blame a loss like that for one person. That was pathetic. No, you cannot, unless you're going to coach. If you're going to pick a person, it's got to be him. But they were just awful across the board, and did anybody, I mean, we talked so much about the defense and how the defense wasn't very good, if you want to just say it that way. But I mean, about the offense, that the offense wasn't very good, but the defense also was, it was bad. I said the defense was mediocre. The defense was very mediocre, and I know what to say about them. I was very surprised, and I think that what they need is, I mean, maybe they should kind of lean on Romeo a little bit, you know, and Romeo is up and coming, and he's a defensive coordinator, but that defense last week just kind of got handled by Blake Bortles, a quarterback who, remember, we weren't even sure what his role would be a few weeks ago. And they just kind of handled the Texans on the Texans home field on Houston strong opening day. I mean, oh my goodness, right? So anyway, they get to got to do it again tonight, right? It's week two. They've got an injury report. I mean, the injury report that is just full of players. Told you about the players who are out, right? The players who are out. So Jeff Allen, who is the guard, he won't play tonight. Steven Anderson, the tight end, won't play with the concussion. Alfred Blue, the running back, is still out. He'll be out with the ankle injury. Brian Cushing is out. He was in the concussion protocol, but now he is out, really out, suspended for 10 games for violating the NFL's policy on performance enhancing substances, and this is in time, right? 2010, he was suspended for 4 games. He is out for 10 games without pay and is not back, won't get back until late November. Bruce Ellington is out with a concussion, wide receiver. Will Fuller, the receiver, is still out with the shoulder separation and the collarbone. And Ryan Griffin, some guys who were just had limited participation. Kevin Johnson, the cornerback, with a knee, and the inside linebacker Bernardo McKinney is nursing a knee. And the rest of these guys, you just have to report them. They practice, but they're all banged up. Davion Clowney, Brandon Urban, a knee. Andre Howell, hip. Joel Heath, the defensive end, knee. DeAndre Hopkins, his wrist. The center, Nick Martin, the ankle. We don't need anybody on the offensive line to have anything going on with them. Tom Savage hurt his finger. Not that it matters. Deshaun Watson hurt his ankle. And J.J. Watt, of course, his finger. Let him go out main. So guys all practice and will play. So they're banged up. They didn't play very well. They didn't look very good. And now they go on the road to play Cincinnati. And Deshaun Watson, who's got a little bit of a bad wheel, not enough to keep him out of practice, is going to go in and be tossed to the wolves against, you know, a Bengals team that is also really wanting to win and bounce back, right? They really want to win and bounce back. And, you know, I talked about the defense. It says that, you know, Mike Vrabel is looking for tackling and fundamentals. Are we talking about fundamentals with this NFL team, this defense that was finished the season with the best statistical numbers in the NFL? Okay. So, and in the midst of all this, you know, on one hand, Tom Savage has been handling, I guess you could say, his benching very, you know, pretty well, but his agent has not handled it so well. His agent apparently went on a podcast this week and kind of sounded off, you know, had some not so great things to say about. Some not so great things to say about the bench. You know, he His agent, Neil Schwartz is his name, did an interview on Wednesday. And I guess, you know, he was defending his client. And he said, look, I'm trying to still figure this out. 31 plays and you're getting benched. This is what he said in an interview with NBC Sports Mike Florio. He said it makes no sense. And so he said he even consulted other industry personnel about the move. Savage was 7-for-13 for 62 yards. He was sacked 6 times and lost 2 fumbles, one of which returned for a touchdown. So as I said, you know, I'll only because that was what Tom saw in the first half, and I can't figure out why he's benching Tom. He said he went through every single play, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he said if you watch film and you say I see something wrong with that, deserve to be benched, I would be on the phone with you. Like, I'd be on the phone with you. I wouldn't be on the phone with you right now. He talked about how the second issue he had. He said the only ball that was that didn't was the strip sack fumble that they call incomplete. He said 7 were completions, 5 were dropped, so that's him kind of blaming his teammates. And he said that 12 of the 13 balls Tom threw touched the receiver's hand. So that's being blamed on the receiver. Tyra Manuel says, I hate that Watson's going to be out there. You know, I understand that because he's going to be running for his life, and I'd hate for him to get injured. And, I mean, he is the future of this team, and I just think if you start Savage in game one, you know, play Savage. You know, you move to Deshaun Watson, you've got to commit to the move for the season. I mean, I just wish that Bill O'Brien would – whatever quarterback he starts, you started out the season, it was going to be Tom Savage, that you would let it remain Tom Savage, right, until there is a reason not to. Like, let it remain, keep Tom Savage as a starting quarterback until you decided, that's it, I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson, and he is going to be the guy that we go with for the rest of the season. This back and forth, it's the history of what he has done since he's been here. It is Bill O'Brien is starting his 9th quarterback in the 4 years that he's been here tonight. It's his 9th. That's insanity, right? No other team in the league has that kind of a history as well. If you podcast, I really appreciate it. And it also will hit the little heart button so you can tell people that you are, how you feel about Chalk Talk. As we are growing the show and growing the brand, your interaction makes it, your engagement helps me to build this. And so I appreciate you guys being here. A lot of people watch the show later. They don't watch it live. And so and because I have moved the show to my business page from my personal page, it takes people watching over there to populate. So if you will share the video now with your friends and your online community, I'd be really appreciative of that. And if you also will hit the little heart button or the wow button or something. So Deshaun Watson makes his start tonight. It's the Bengals. Went out to camp, not in practice, he's not in. And the offensive line, I don't think will be much. I mean, how much better can they be? Jeff Allen's going to be out, you know, not that he was great, but, you know, so you've got an offensive lineman out, you got one a little banged up, and then you got the rest of them that you already had who just could not get anything done last week. Great for the Texans. But hey, listen, and it's not like being into New England tonight, going into Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, of course, has its own issues. I'm trying to think of, I didn't even look to see what the line is for tonight. I'm just really curious. And I don't see the line. I mean, I don't see the line for tonight's game. So if one of you guys have it, Deshaun Watson, of course, is going to start. And I've seen one prediction that said the Bills by three. Today is Deshaun Watson's 22nd birthday. So both offenses, you know, neither of these offenses are great, but, you know, the Texans' offensive line has got to improve. They've got to provide Deshaun Watson with better protection than they did against the Jaguars. They don't have to be great, but they've got to be better, okay? And something else. They didn't really use Deontay Foreman. He got, I think, had one touch in this week. And, you know, that they need to get more production out of him. They need to find a way to work him into the offense better. And no, you did not. Not yet. Sorry, you haven't talked about Jamel Hill. We are definitely going to do that. Thank you for joining us today. We're talking about this Texas team and a little bit about what might happen tonight for those of you who watch, who are still watching football. And then Davion Clowney and J.J. Watt combined for two tackles. I mean, what? Two tackles. They had two tackles. Now, on the Bengals side, their quarterback threw four interceptions last week, Andy Dalton, the Cade resident. And the Texans defense gave up 155 rushing yards against Jacksonville. So Cincinnati might try to run the ball. I mean, the Texans defense, I mean, that was very good. Randy Bullock, who used to be a Texan, a former Aggie, is a Bengal. And he could play a big role tonight. This game tonight, it may be a close one. The game will be. Yeah, the Bills kind of have the edge when they pass the ball. That's what John McClain says. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. Texans have the edge when they run the ball. And here's the thing. Bill O'Brien, who is also the calling the plays, needs to find a way to work Deontay Foreman into the offense. They've got to get him some touches. I mean, you know, 8-10 touches at least, you know, 8-12. Somewhere in there, they need to get him active in the game. So, you know, we'll have a lot to talk about this team. I hope it's not going to be the long kind of season that it looks like, a longer 16 weeks than it feels, but that's kind of setting up what we can expect tonight. What Shatari mentioned was the comments about Jamel Hill, and I want to talk about this because I just know some of those cases of a lot of the double standards that we see just across the board everywhere. Now, so Jamel Hill is a broadcaster for ESPN, and she made some comments on Twitter about President Trump and her feelings about Trump. Said things like called him a white supremacist, and you know, so it was, there were several tweets, but you know, that's the one that has really been garnering, I guess, the most attention. And she heard from ESPN. ESPN issued an apology on her behalf. I mean, not her behalf. They said that the comments on Twitter from Jamel Hill regarding president do not represent the position of ESPN. Went on to say that they had spoken with her and told her that her position was appropriate. That was inappropriate. So, you know, she had not been, you know, very active on Twitter since that exchange, and since ESPN then, you know, made its kind of public statement yesterday during White House briefing, which I thought was really interesting. And interesting is because that's the only thing that I can come up with right now. One of the reporters asked Sarah Huffy Sanders about this prominent or influential or, you know, sportscaster, African-American sportscaster, calling the president a white supremacist. And she went on to say that, well, that just, you know, was one of the craziest things ever, blah, blah, blah. And she also went on to say it should be a fireable offense by ESPN. What? So ESPN, here is ESPN's, I'm going to give you the exact quote. The comments on Twitter from Jamal Hill regarding the president do not represent the position of ESPN. We have addressed this with Mel, and she recognizes her actions were inappropriate. Okay? So, I don't know if it happened. So, she did tweet yesterday, and ESPN said it accepts it accepted Jamel's apology of its SportsCenter host for the tweet that she had earlier in the week that she called to put his ethics. And she said, I think that's one of the more, this is what Huckabee Sanders said. I like to hear when I'm quoting people, so I wanted to find it. Said, I think that's one of the more outrageous comments that anyone can make, and certainly something that I think is a fireable offense by ESPN. What? So this is what Jamel tweeted last night. My comments on Twitter express an old belief. My regret is that my comments and the public way I made them painted ESPN in unpolite. My respect for the company and my colleagues remains unconditional. All right. I thought she handled that really well. Okay. I thought she handled it well. Basically, she didn't back down from her comments, but she said, you know, if I put my company in a bad light, in a negative light, that was not my intention. So my personal comment. And so she got in the left forward on Twitter. The National Association of Black Journalists issued a statement on her behalf, which I'm a member of that organization, and I was glad to see that. A lot of her colleagues have come out and supported her, and a lot of players, athletes, people that she covers, or I've said, hey, Shatari says part of the popularity is that she's outspoken. The fact that this is an issue being taken up by the White House, I couldn't agree more. I just thought, how does that become part of a discussion during the pandemic? I mean, there have been people, I mean, we can't even begin to start pulling up all the comments that have been made about President Obama or others along the way. And so, what? It's not a fireable offense because it's true. And I don't think she's lying. Right, Shataria. One of the reasons, part of her popularity is that she is outspoken. And she's outspoken based on information. It's not just she's opinionated and hot-headed. She's smart. She's a solid journalist. She's thoughtful in terms of she puts on what she does. And she is outspoken, and she says things that may not always be popular, but she says them because it's what she believes, not because she's trying to make a headline. And there is a lot of the other. There are a lot of people that say stuff because they are trying to be a part of a headline. So I agree. I don't, quite frankly, she won't resign. I don't see that happening. I support her as well. And I think that, I just thought that was way out of line. But listen, the White House is out of line. I mean, this same Sarah Huckabee Sanders yesterday in the same press briefing, when she talked about this whole bipartisan effort now that the president is doing because he had dinner with members of the Democratic Party. And last night he was having dinner with Chuck and Nancy, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, the Senate Majority Leader and the House, Senate Minority Leader and the House Minority Leader. She said that he has done more, has more made progress or more garden work or something like that than President Obama in 8 days than President Obama has in 8 years. Okay. I just struggle with the fact that this administration cannot tell the truth. The fact is just not really facts. This president has not passed any legislation yet. You know, they just haven't. And there's a number of instances of times when President Obama, for whatever you may think of him, passed bipartisan legislation and said that he, that, as though he wasn't even willing to sit down with the Republicans. Not true. The Republicans made it very clear. Mitch McConnell said off the top, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that he's not successful. That is what we're going to do. And that is what they did as a party for 8 years. But President Obama, who has often been criticized by some on the left for reaching out to the Republicans, that's what he did throughout his tenure to try to get things done. Will the recovery effort, recovery, the economy, when he had to bail the economy out, that was bipartisan. There were a number of things. And so it's just, you know, the fact that this administration kind of says and does whatever it feels whenever it feels like it, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that I haven't missed any kind of a Dwayne Brown signing or something over on here. So, that's what I think. And I'd love to know your thoughts about Jemele Hill, and you know, so she shouldn't use her job to talk about things she feels personally. Well, as Shataria mentioned, you know, part of the show that they do is not just highlight, also a lot of pop culture. They address a lot of issues that is somewhat of a popularity of what she does, and you know, we get his and hers, and how she has worked across the platform. I mean, you know, when she's, they call her in, and she's in on other shows sometimes. And so, yes, you're right. These are some crazy times for sure to those folks over on Periscope. But you got to know that the White House, first of all, I was surprised that a reporter would bring that up in a White House press briefing. You know, and the fact that somebody would call the president a white supremacist, it's really more based on activities, on his actions and things that have, good morning, by the way, to you too, how he has handled or has not handled situations along the way. And so not just people make comments and they've you know, called President Obama Hitler. Huh? But when you have a president who has, you know, compared white supremacists and neo-Nazis to people in other movements, peaceful protesters, Black Lives Matter, those who are, you know, the anti-supremacist movement, and said that they were kind of the same, and I'm paraphrasing, those weren't his words, but that was, he basically equated them as though that was false on both sides. And we're talking about the Charlottesville issue. That is the issue where really people came out and said his comments are like those of a white supremacist. Interesting time. Shataria makes a great point. You know, this administration says whatever it feels, but abhors the quality, that quality in others, particularly when others are being truthful. They, you know, what was that old movie, the show, when they said, you know, you can't handle the truth. You see a lot of that now in these current times that we are in. There's this tone that it's kind of censorship. You know, when I saw somebody on Twitter the other day who is a conservative, he makes it clear that he's a conservative, but he said he supported the right for Jemele Hill to make the comments she did because of her First Amendment rights. And what he also did was he kind of called out conservatives and said, we can't be hypocritical. You can't say that you want someone to speak the First Amendment sometimes when things don't go your way, you are now talk about censorship. So it was just, I think I did something. I did this last time, and I don't know how. Well, it ended up not showing my comments. Okay. All right. So I'd love to know your thoughts about how we navigate this current time. You know, I had a conversation with a friend yesterday who was a coach, and so many people are willing to have conversations privately, and I get that, but somebody has to be willing to say, I disagree. You know, I don't sway. I mean, there's such a fear, and so people are having these offline conversations, and we're not ready to address the elephant in the room. We're not willing to really, you know, speak truth to power because people are afraid of losing their jobs and losing their incomes and their positions, and I get that, and that is really unfortunate, right? Like, I don't really know what the answer is, but whoops, let me go here. There we go. Okay, so I don't know what the answer is, but I do think that something else, we have to take a position, and we've got to stop being so afraid to make comments. You know, I think we have to be thoughtful. I mean, I think we have to be, is this a gay pride show? No, this is not a gay pride show, but all are welcome here. I'm not really where that came from, but okay. we have to, you know, we have to be informed, right? We can't just be emotional. So if you're going to be a person that has some sort of a platform and is willing to talk to people about things that are a little uncomfortable, because let's face it, that's what these things are, talking about race, talking about politics, talking about the current state of the climate in this country, it's uncomfortable. And you're going to step into that space. Then what I really want is for people who do that to be prepared, right? Know what you're talking about. You know what you're talking about. Don't just jump out there. Know what you're talking about. Whoops. Sorry about that. I'm not gone. I'm coming back. Here we go. I did something and got a little fancy. I am back. Sorry about that. Know what you're talking about. Have your facts. And, you know, don't, you can't be easily offended. Because it's just a different time, right? It's just a different time. It's a fear. You're right. Shatari says it's a fear of losing money. And I get it. You know, and I do work for myself. And there are people who probably don't support what I do because I am a little more opinionated. But it is not just based on willy-nilly stuff. And it's not hate, you know, hateful, and I don't, you know, you don't hear any, you know, vitriol when you hear me. You know, if we can't have conversations about these differences and things that we see and how we feel, how do we get to the other side of this really tense, comfortable, awkward climate, right? That is what I'd like to see us be able to do. And I'm not really sure what the answer is, but I do believe part of the answer is that people stand up and take a stand and say things that are meaningful and thoughtful and that are pertinent, that are relevant. You know, there's a lot of chatter places. And so, you know, maybe that's not what your thing is, that you should be standing up and being vocal about something. Maybe there's some actions that you take. But my point is, now is not the time for everyone to sit back and, you know, and act like all well. There's no outward fix, it's within. That's what somebody just said on Periscope. That's a good point. You know, there is no outward fix. We all have to be a part of it. Like, we can't sit back and hope it kind of works itself out, because these are some crazy times. And we have, you know, this one person I talked to yesterday said something. He said, you know, I think that President Trump was good for the country in a sense. He goes, I don't think it's not good for us. He said, but it was a good reminder of where we really are and what we really need to work on and deal with. And it just reminded people of some harsh realities and things that people, I guess, didn't really want to didn't really want to acknowledge, because until things got so far right, left, crazy, just so far crazy, that's what it is. The position that things are in, or it's just craziness. And people didn't really want to, didn't admit it. So now it's very difficult to deny. It's difficult to deny what Colin Kaepernick's talking about, right? The injustices. It's difficult to deny what Michael Bennett faced. It's difficult to deny that when Jemele Hill makes a comment, ESPN quickly comes out and distances itself from her. And, you know, she issues a, I thought, very appropriate apology. And sorry, I'm laughing because I'm on Periscope. I think Trump is a total distraction. Obama's coming back. Yeah, I unfortunately don't think that's the case. I do think there is a distraction. I think that there are a lot of things happening in this administration in terms of, if you look at some things happening with the Department of Education and Betsy DeVos, the Department of Justice, in terms of criminal justice reform that has been, you know, virtually taken off the table, you know, things that had been some progress and steps that have been made in the previous administration. There's a lot of distraction from a lot of things that are happening. It's almost as though the HUD, the Housing and Urban Development under Ben Carson, that is being somewhat dismantled. So there is a lot of stuff happening while the distractions that are this current administration day in and day out. So I'd love to know, some other thoughts if you guys have them about the Jemele Hill situation. And I, you know what? I got to say this too. I didn't say we were talking about this today. You know, there's just so much to get to in this short little hour. But Hillary Clinton has written a book, and now she's doing her media tour. And you know, I don't have any problem with Secretary Clinton writing a book about her experiences on the campaign trail. I just don't know. And of course, she's doing a book tour because her goal is to sell books. I just really don't know how much she's helping. She's a Democrat, but how much are you really helping the Democrats and what needs to be happening in the party to reconcile, to win some seats back in the House and Senate so that there can be some balance? Because right now, all three houses, you know, are controlled by the Republicans, the White House, you know, the executive level, both chambers of commerce, so the House of Representatives and the Senate. And so you really lose a chance for some balance in terms of input and legislation. And if there ever is a conversation about impeaching President Trump, you don't have the votes to do it. And what we know is that the Republicans would never do that. You know, they party first. And so for Secretary Clinton now come out and relitigate the election to go down the Bernie Sanders road again, I just don't know how productive that is. The Democrats have got to find a platform. They've got to find a voice, and they've got to find a voice that they can get behind. They've got to collectively come together as a party. And I just think it's a little, I think there's a little bit of denial. You know, clearly, let me just say this about, and I haven't read the book, but I did see her interview. Clearly, I do agree with her that, his letter 10 days before the election, I think pretty much sacked her, right? But I think she didn't do the things she should have done. She should have been in Michigan and she should have been in Wisconsin. And, you know, there's a number of things that she should have done as a candidate. She didn't do as a candidate. But clearly the Comey letters were impactful. The letter that he wrote about the emails It really did kind of sink her efforts. You know, she could have probably gotten by with the mistakes that she made on the campaign trail, because this is not at all saying she didn't do something, she couldn't have done some things a whole lot better. I mean, she clearly more prepared candidate, the smarter candidate, the more qualified candidate, not the perfect candidate, pretty much an awful politician, but I just don't know that this whole book right now is the book tour and the things that she's, how she's handling the interview. She is going to be on Rachel Maddow tonight. I will have to tape that because I'll be watching the game. I am a big Rachel Maddow fan. I like her work. Somebody said to me, you could be the Rachel Maddow sports. I'm like, oh, okay. But I do appreciate Rachel's work. And I know that she will ask the secretary the tough questions. She won't just give her a pass. And so I'm interested to see that interview because I think that the Secretary Clinton has to own more of her failure than, because right now, here's the real truth. Most people, many people will never read her book. What they will do is hear her interview. And they will just take it as, oh, she's just blaming people. Oh, the Democrats are, you know, whining. Oh, that's why Trump is in office. I mean, I just don't know that the way she is approaching the book tour, I just triggered me. Tanya says, you just triggered me. I just don't know that that is the most productive approach. If you are about what's best for the country, what is best for your party, you know, the Democratic Party. And so the other side is, and she shouldn't have written a book. And that she shouldn't say in the book exactly what she feels. I just wish that in her interviews, she would be, her approach would be a little different. A lot of people don't read, and all they will see what's in the interview. All right, we are pretty much out of time for today, and so I want to thank you guys for being here. I'm going to start posting about a podcast that I will be doing in addition to this show. I'm still, Shataria, working out a few of those little technical kinks to it, but I'm going to ask you, if you will, follow me on this Facebook page, subscribe to get notifications about my live broadcast, and make sure that you follow me on Facebook and on Twitter, and on Instagram, it's kim.y.davis on Instagram. And I will be making posts throughout the game tonight. You can follow me live on Twitter, and I'll have updates throughout the weekend about some of the major stories. I'm going to go out to I'm going to hop on my way to a baseball game this weekend and see the Astros, and Verlander is going to pitch on Sunday. But listen, thank you guys so much for being here. Thanks for all the well wishes while I was out last week. I appreciate you for that. And make it a great, great week. I will see you next Facebook Live. As always, thank you for being here. Have a great week. Do something kind for yourself and something kind for somebody else. Have a great evening.